Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 312, stanzas 1, 3, and 6. I love the Lord, who heard my cry and granted my request. In him who hears and answers prayer, my trust through life shall rest. 1, 3, and 6 of Psalter 312.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John and thereof chapter 21. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Galilee, of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should be glorified, he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him that he shall not die, but, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we may come together a second time around thy holy word, a testimony that shall be even unto eternity. For there is not a word which thou hast spoken which shall fall unto the ground. And it is also in the life of thy own people, when thou hast spoken unto them, that there is not one word that shall not be fulfilled. But it can be so many years, and it goes through a way wherein thy people must perish, so that there can be so little encouragement. For thou knowest where that they are also in this day. Oh, that thou may remember them, and that thou wouldst look upon them. We have heard it in these moments. Thou didst appear the third time unto thy disciples, and then thy servant did say, It is the Lord. O Lord, thy people, they shall know thy voice, and they shall follow thee. O that thou may appear unto them once again in this day, on thy holy day, thou sayest, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We have no ears, except that thou givest them unto each and every one of us. For we are as those that are neither cold nor hot. And because we are neither cold nor hot, thou wilt spew us out of thy mouth. Lord, thou knowest what we need. By nature we are dead. We are uncaring. Are careless concerning the things of our never dying soul. But it is thy Sabbath, upon which we commemorate thy resurrection every week again on the first day. O, we beseech thee, thou who art the resurrection and the life, that thou may look upon us and upon our children, to give unto us that life that is from the dead. Oh, there are those also among us that do groan under that deadness. Thou hast given to feel something of that deadness. Thou dost give a prayer for life. Thou dost give a feeling. Thou dost give hunger. Thou dost give thirst. But it is not recognized as life from the dead. O Lord, that thou may remember them also in a special way. For then it is alone thee who are able to feed them and to lead them unto the living fountains of waters. Oh, that thou may give them to eat and to drink and to be satisfied. Wilt thou lead them unto thyself? That goes in a way wherein we must decrease and wherein thou must increase. Oh, that thou may give it, O Lord, in the life of thine own. It is a way wherein they must be disappointed in order that they may one day rejoice. It is a way wherein thou often must withdraw thyself, that thou must hide thy face in order that they may run after thee, that they may be drawn to cry unto thee. O Lord, that thou may come, that thou may appear once again, that thou may come for the first time, that thou wouldst deliver thy church, that thou wouldst give an increase also among us in the number of thy true church. For there are those that hope in the coming week to make confession of faith in our midst, that thou may look upon them when they hope to give their promise. Wilt thou give in the heart of them and us together that life that goes out to thee with true and holy longings, that thou may build thy church and not only in an outward way, but that we and our children may know that new life. Oh, that thou wouldst come and give unto us as a congregation the awakening from the dead, that we may see, that we may feel the vanity of life, that we may cry out out of that land of Egypt, a land of bondage, that we may be delivered therefrom when we cannot deliver ourselves. O Lord, that thou wouldst lead thy people into the wilderness, for there thou wilt care, there thou wilt feed them with manna from heaven. Oh, that thou wouldst give them then to eat of that hidden manna, that they may be given to taste something of the sweetness thereof, that thou may look upon the young and old together, the children, the youth of the congregation. Lord, give in their life also, while they are still young, to remember their Creator, for this world that has nothing to offer unto them, that is of substance, that is lasting, that endures. But thou alone art able to give to them the riches and the substance that is eternal, or that their eyes may go open and that they may be given to see it, to cry out after it and to seek that wisdom that is from thee alone. Remember those that are weak, those that are ailing. Be with those that do suffer from addictions, those that have hidden crosses also in their own places unknown unto others, the crosses of the mind, crosses of the body, crosses of the family, of relationships, and other needs known before thee. Lord, wilt thou bless the crosses, that they may be sanctified, that they may bring forth fruit also in the midst of us as a congregation. Oh, leave us not, as we so justly deserve, over to ourselves, and when time that is flying away, that we may feel something of the shortness of our life, of the urgency of the need of our souls that needs to be bound upon us for the first time, but also by renewal. Help thy servants, give yet an increase in their number when we hope to meet as a curatorium soon, or that thou may give us yet men who are truly called and converted by thee, that may be bound to thy service, that may be sent forth by thee in thy time. Help the instructors, Thou knowest all of their needs for the weakness also of their bodies. O Lord, that Thou may remember each and every one of them in all their needs. And the students also, wilt Thou prepare them for the exams to come, and also for the future labors that Thou hast in store for them. Remember those also that are upon the mission field, and those that labor in preparations, therefore, that Thou may remember each and every one, and bless those that labor in such a way over the length and breadth of this whole world. Those who are far away in the land of Israel, wilt Thou bring them safely back at Thy appointed time, and wilt Thou grant them also a Sabbath day's blessing in their place. Wilt Thou look upon land and people, the place that Thou hast given us to live. It is a place where Satan's seat is, Thou knowest. Oh, that Thou wouldst keep the world out of our hearts, and that Thou wouldst keep us also from the world. But wilt Thou give that our rulers, they also may receive that tender fear of God in their hearts, that they may bring us back to Thy word and to Thy testimony. And that the judges of our land may rule according to Thy holy word. Lord, turn us and we shall be turned. Save us and we shall be saved. Wilt Thou care for those that are old, ailing, in the nursing home, cared for by others? Weak, Thou knowest her, that has difficulties in her own home day by day. A procedure in the week gone by, but Lord, Thou knowest that she must have it yet again. O Lord, that Thou may remember her in Thy mercy, and that Thou may visit her soul with Thy salvation. Wilt Thou look upon us also in this afternoon hour? Lord, help us to bring and to hear Thy word. Give us the unction of Thy Spirit as Thou hast promised. We sin it away every day again, and we are unworthy of the least of Thy notice or attention. But Thou hast promised, I have put my words in Thy mouth. Oh, give us then what is necessary to take forth the precious from the vile, and that Thou Thyself may be glorified and be magnified in the life, in the heart of Thy children. That Thy kingdom may come, that Thy name may be glorified, that our sins may be forgiven, and that our souls may be edified for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 163, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord my God, most earnestly my heart would seek Thy face within Thy holy house once more to see Thy glorious grace. And what follows? The following persons have been examined by the consistory with a desire to make confession of faith: Meredith Alleman, Lorraine Den Hollander, Rosemary Den Hollander, Andre Janssen, Miriam Janssen, Shaylin Kreft, Darcy Nordegraff, Conrad Van Driesten, Felicia Van Driesten, Fred Van Herk, Laura Van Herk. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, April the 17th. 163, all the stanzas. go thy way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Those were the words, the message that was given unto the women at the grave by the Lord himself through his servants, the angels who were sent to them, his disciples and Peter. Thus, very specifically, the Lord instructs these women that they are not to forget, neither are they to exclude Peter from this message. His disciples and Peter. The mercies of the Lord are greater than the mercies of men. We read the disciples of the Lord, they asked him whether they should ask, whether they should pray for fire to come down from heaven and to consume the Samaritans. When David must choose his own punishment, then David says to Nathan the prophet, "Let us fall now into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great. But let me not fall into the hands of man." Jeremiah, he writes that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for they are new every morning. It is easy to sin, is it not, children? It is easy to sin, but it is not easy to be recovered from sin. We heard that, didn't we? That is a work that was given unto Christ himself. It was given unto the Son of God because of his ability, because of his power. It was a divine work. We have heard it in the months that are gone by. A divine work to deliver from sin, because that is a very difficult work. That is in an objective way, but it is not only in the objective way, it is also in the experience of the life of that people. And we wish to consider something of this with you, with the Lord's help in this afternoon, out of the words of our text, which were read to you from John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17. John 21, verses 15 to 17. So, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. So far, the words of our text, which speak of the restoration of Peter. In two thoughts, first, a tender and searching question, and second, an humble and truthful answer. The restoration of Peter, first, a tender and searching question, second, a humble and truthful answer. The Lord hath risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. That is what we hear from the mouth of the disciples of the Lord. Thus the Lord, he deals with his church in an individual way. The Roman Catholic Church, they say, come to the church and confess your sin before the priest. The Lord says, come into your inner chamber and confess your sin unto me. The Lord, he appears to Simon. He appears to Simon all alone. We don't read there what has taken place. That was a sin of Simon that was against the Lord. And the Lord, he visits Simon himself alone. Thus there was a meeting that was only between his soul and the Lord. Did you ever have such a meeting? Do you also have a secret life? Do you also have an inner chamber? Did the Lord ever also come unto you to deal with you, with the need of your soul? Did the Lord ever come to speak to you about your sin? Even as he has come to speak to Peter alone about his sin, unconfessed is unforgiven. But now to come to that place of confession, that is also a gift. Because Peter, he has sworn, he has cursed that he did not know the Lord Jesus. How then can he receive a place that he may come before the Lord Jesus once again? And then it is a wonder. It is a wonder to such a people, when they have no place to come in their own estimation to the Lord. If the Lord, he is coming again to that people, he is coming to give them a little freedom, he is coming to draw out the confession that they may be able to lay it in truth before the Lord, he is coming to draw it out of them, that he may forgive them. The Lord, he appeared to Simon. But the church does not only have a private life. That church that also has a public life. And that is especially Simon, because Simon has an office. The sins and the shortcomings of an office bearer, they count for double. Why? Because of their position. Because of the place that they have been given in the church and in the world. Therefore, the Lord said to David that he had given cause for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. But it is also within the church. that their sin that is counting for double, because it is the office bearers that are being looked to, that they may set an example unto those unto whom they speak, unto whom that they preach, those whom they do lead. Thus the necessity that they watch and pray, that they enter not into temptation. Peter's sin, that was in a public place. Where was that, boys and girls? That was in the hall of Caiaphas. Thus, it is a sin that will become known. And you can be sure that also the other disciples, they have heard what has taken place there and what was spoken by Peter in that hall of Caiaphas. Thus, that sin of Peter that is liable to cause a breach. Does sin among us cause a breach? Or are we able just to live with one another, even though that we are walking in the midst of this world in all kinds of sin? Say, should it cause a breach? Were the other disciples any better than Peter was? No, we cannot say that. We read that they all forsook him and fled, so that there is not one of the disciples of the Lord that is able to put his hand in his own bosom and take it out clean. Is that not also with us? Who of us would dare to stand there with an accusation against Peter? And yet, when there is a love of sin, when there is a living in sin, and then there ought also to be a breach, because the Lord, he does not condone sin, and we also ought not to condone sin in one another. Peter's sin was public, but his weeping was private. When he wept, we read, he went out. He sought a place alone. Did you ever go out and seek a place alone that you may weep? And what does the Lord Jesus now do? Well, the Lord Jesus will make this weeping known. He will make the repentance of Peter also to be known unto these other disciples. That is now the only purpose of a confession of guilt. And why does the Lord Jesus do this in front of these other disciples? Well, he does that he may take away the breach that is between them and Peter, that he may heal that breach. Thus the Lord does not only forgive the sin of his people, but the Lord is also healing the breaches that are the consequences of their guilt. Simon, son of Jonas. Children, is that his name? Simon? I thought that the Lord Jesus changed his name. Do we not read that in the Word of God? That Simon, he surnamed Peter. Thus, why does the Lord Jesus then call him Simon? We read that another time. We read that before that he fell, that the Lord Jesus warned him about his fall. And then he used this same name at that time. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as the wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Thus, the Lord goes back with Peter. He goes back, as it were, to the time that was before his calling. He goes back to the time that was before his drawing. He reminds Peter where he has come from. He reminds him here, especially of his origin. He says, Simon, son of Jonas. Sin does not have a rightful place in the life of God's people. And the Lord Jesus has warned him beforehand thereof. Before that he has fallen, that he may tell him of the weakness of his flesh. He says, Simon, thou art called of grace. Thou art given the Spirit of the Lord. But do not forget that thou hast still within you a Simon, that thou still hast within you an old man. And after he sinned, then the Lord, he is bringing him back again unto that same place to remind him of that same thing, to consider where that he has come from, that he may consider what actually that he has delivered him from. Thus the Lord, he is magnifying his own work. Did the Lord ever magnify his own work in your life too? That is humbling. That is greatly humbling unto Peter. It is greatly humbling to the flesh of a man, because with all that the Lord is giving in their life, then there is yet remaining that flesh which is not to their own honor, nor to the honor of the Lord. And therefore, Paul, he writes to the church of the Lord to mortify that flesh. What is that? To mortify it. To mortify speaks about death. Thus, that church is admonished by the Lord to kill that flesh. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Children, how do you know if a man is a policeman? Say, of all those men, which one is a policeman? Say, a policeman, he has a badge. And by that badge we may know that he is a policeman. That is right. How do you know if a man, a boy, a girl is a disciple of the Lord? He also has a badge. He wears it. It lives within him. You know what that badge is? That badge is love. That is love for the Lord. Do you have that badge? You disciple of the Lord too? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? David, in Psalm 18, he says, thy gentleness hath made me great. It is the condescension of the Lord, and the Lord is firm. We can read it here. The Lord, he is firm in the lessons that he is teaching unto his people. But at the same time, in his firmness, then we can hear how gently that he is dealing with his own sheep. Because he could have said so many things now to Peter by way of accusation. But now he speaks so tenderly to him. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? It is a gentle reminder of what? It is a gentle reminder of Peter's own words, of his former words, that he has spoken to the Lord Jesus, and he has spoken those words even in the midst of all of the other disciples. Though all men should be offended, he said, yet will not I. Peter loved the Lord. Peter loved the Lord. That was good. But Peter thought that he loved the Lord more than all the other disciples loved the Lord. And that was not good. What congregation is pride? Pride that is not the same thing as what we call self-esteem. No, that self-esteem that is necessary, that it is existing somewhat in everyone, that we may be able to function in our life, also our children. They need to have a certain amount of this. And therefore, also sometimes, parents, then it is necessary to praise your children. And when they are doing what is good, when they are doing what is well, there are those they say, no, we may not do that, because then our children, they become proud. Well, let us hope not. But this is not the same thing. What is pride? When a man, he begins to compare himself to his neighbor. He begins to compare himself with other persons. And he begins to lift himself up. And he begins to look down and to despise his neighbor as if that he were better. That is not self-esteem, no. That is now sinful pride that leads him to think that he is in some way superior to his brother. And this is sinful. This is resulting in a haughty spirit. Solomon, boys and girls, he says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit goeth before a fall. Do you have a haughty spirit? Do you think that you are better than your friends, your other students in school? Maybe that you can do your work a little easier. Is your heart then lifted up because of this? This is sinful pride. Do you know what Solomon says? He says, he that is first in his own cause seemeth to be just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. That is what we read here. Peter was first in his own cause, and now the Lord Jesus comes and he searches him. And he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? What does Peter say? What do we read? We read, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. That is a humble answer. That is a truthful answer. That is our second thought. Do you hear the difference, boys and girls, between what the Lord Jesus said and what Peter said? How do you read the Word of God? Do you read the Word of God carefully? There is a difference. The Lord Jesus, he said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" What does Peter say? "Thou knowest that I love thee." Thus he left something out. He did not say that. "More than these." No, he said that before. But Peter doesn't dare to say that anymore. Sometimes the Lord, he lets his people fall. He will never let them fall away. But sometimes he lets them fall. Because the Lord, he sometimes has a good reason to let them fall. And there is nothing happening without his will. And there is nothing that can happen to that people which is not for their good. That is why Paul, he says, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Humility. Humility. Humility is one of the greatest blessings that a man can receive by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord, he sees, he knows the importance of this. And when the Lord sees that that humility that begins to wane away, the Lord knows just how to make it to flourish again. "Yea, thou knowest that I love thee." That is better, Peter. That is better. Why? Because that is true. And what you said there in that hall of Caiaphas, that was not true. That your heart knows. But why does Peter say this? He says, "Thou knowest." He does not just say, "Yes." He does not say, "Certainly." He says, "Lord, thou knowest." Why? Well, because there are circumstances. And those circumstances, the life of Peter, he feels that. That is not in accordance with what he just said, with what he is saying, with what he is testifying. There is sometimes that the life of God's people that is not in accordance with what is living in their heart. There is a difference outwardly and inwardly. It is not in those moments, in those days, in sometimes those months, those years, a true testimony. That is a shame. And yet Peter, he can say, and he calls upon the Lord to be a witness, that even though what he has done, even though his life, that does not go along with it, still, he says, "Lord, I do love thee." Can you say the same thing? Let us sing. 204, 3 and 4. "In earth or heaven above, who is there that I love compared with thee? My heart may faint with fears, but God, my strength appears and will to endless years my portion be. 3 and 4 of Psalter 204. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Thus, no more than these. But there is more. There is actually another difference. That difference that is not seen by us in our King James Version. Because we can imagine how difficult that is to translate the Bible from one language into another language. Those that know the Dutch language, then they will say sometimes that there is a beautiful word in the Dutch language. But we cannot find anything in the English language that is able to express it. Here, we read also something similar. Because not only does Peter leave out these words more than these, but he uses an entirely different word for love. Thus, when the Lord Jesus says, "Lovest thou me?" And then he uses a very high form of love. But when Peter gives an answer to the Lord, and he says, "Thou knowest that I love thee," then he does not use that same word. But he uses a word that expresses a lower form of love. Thus, Peter does not dare to rise to that height that the Lord Jesus is asking after. Do you understand that, people of the Lord? Because, especially when sin that is getting the upper hand in the life of God's church, then they begin to question. They begin to question the truth of that love. They begin to question the extent of that love. What does the Lord Jesus do? He asks Peter the second time. He says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Do you hear it, children? Is that not a wonder? Do you hear what the Lord Jesus did? He left it out, didn't he? He left it out too. He did not say it more than these. Even as Peter did not dare to say more than these, then the Lord Jesus, he leaves it out the second time. Do you feel the gentleness of Christ? Do you know what he would do if you went on your knees, young people? If you went into your inner chamber and you would confess to him and tell him all your sin, do you feel something of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does that mercy live in your own heart too? Do you pass over also the sin of your neighbor? Do you know what it says? Solomon says in the Bible, he says, "Love covereth all sins." He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Love does not proclaim the sins of our neighbor unto other people. Love does not delight to repeat a matter and to bring it forward over and over again. And yet, the Lord Jesus uses here the same word for love that he has used the first time. The Lord Jesus asked Peter the second time concerning that highest form of love, "Lovest thou me?" What does Peter do? "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." What word is it? Peter, he repeats the same word that he did the first time. Congregation, we live in a world where there is much profession. That man is speaking and he is often taking large leaps to speak about the Lord, his love to the Lord, the Lord's love to him, to speak about things that are much too high for him, to take things that do not belong to him, the things that were not actually given to him from the Lord. that afflicted and that poor people of the Lord, they are not able to take one step when it is right. Not one step. And they are not able to say one thing more, one thing higher than they have known and what they feel in their hearts. It is true. There is a way that it should be. That is what the Lord Jesus is speaking about. When he speaks about this love, that love to him in its highest forms, that is the way it should be. Then there is the way that it is. Then there is the reality in the life of that people. And so often, it is not the way that it should be. But you know what is the experience of that people? They cannot change that. That is not lying in their own power. And there is every day again sin. There is every day again shortcoming. And then they don't dare to say so much because of those questions that are living within their own hearts. What does the Lord Jesus do now? What the Lord Jesus does now is a great wonder. He speaks to Peter the third time. That is difficult. That is very painful. Because when he does it the third time, then it is for Peter a stark reminder of his sin. Cannot escape that. Be sure your sin will find you out. We cannot escape it. And if even the Lord forgives the sins of a man, that does not mean that there will be no consequences. Nathan said to David, "The Lord hath forgiven thy sins, but child must die." When we read the sin of Peter, that sin escalated. That is the way it often is, children. It begins low, bad enough, and then it escalates. It gets worse and worse until Peter was swearing and he was cursing that his words, they were actually true. You know what we read of the Lord Jesus? We read here just the opposite. He goes down. He condescends to his people further and further. And now he asks a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And now he uses the word that Peter used. He said, "Peter, you don't have to come up higher. And if you cannot come up higher, then I will come down to you. And you do not need to say, Peter, anything more than what is living in your heart." Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" Who can imagine what that was when the Lord Jesus was standing in that hall of Caiaphas? And three times over again, Peter says, "I know not this man of whom thou speakest." The second time, the third time, you can imagine for Christ, also human, what that was. And now, Peter feels it. He feels something of that grief wherewith he has grieved his master. And that now Christ even asks him, about the truth of that lowest form of love that he has confessed to him already 2 times over. How is that, people of the Lord? Does the Lord ever question you, even about the lowest things, the lowest love? There was a minister in the Netherlands years ago, teacher of the theological school, laying in a hospital. One of his students came to visit him. You know what that minister, that instructor asked his student when he lay there on that sick bed? He said, tell me what is now one of the smallest marks, the smallest mark of grace. Is that not now the way it so often is in the life of God's people? Can be the Lord leads them and he brings them on that way. And then they would like sometimes to write it down in a book how that went in their life. Some have done this. When I was a young boy, then I heard a minister one time, and he says, later, he says, I can write my conversion on my fingernail. On my fingernail. The Lord, he strips. He has to take away so much that is still from man, in order that he himself may receive all the honor. Peter was grieved. The Lord Jesus, he calls even this into question. Was there then nothing left? Was it all gone? Was it never true? Was it all hypocrisy? Was it all form? Is he even as a Judas? Go ahead then, Peter. Say it. Say it to the Lord Jesus, that there is no love, that there never was. Say it. Say, Lord, I have never seen any beauty in thee. I have never seen any comeliness in thee. There was never in me even a spark. Thou hast never shown thyself. Thou hast never revealed thyself unto my soul, that I may see by the eye of faith. Say it, Peter. Say you have never missed him. When he spoke and he said, I go away. And when he said, I go away, that your heart was not sorrowful. And when he was away, that you never missed him. That you never desired that he would return again. Say it then. Lovest thou me? And when he returned, when he came back, when he appeared, when he spoke, then say that your heart did not rejoice, that it was not lifted up, that you were not made so very, very glad. Say it then, Peter. There was never anything, never a desire, never a drawing, never a hunger, never a thirst. Your actions, your confession in the hall of Caiaphas, that was true. That you do not know, that you do not love this man. No. Peter was grieved. He did not dare to come so high. But he could not say no either. He could not appeal to his life. That was against him. There was only one testimony, and it was in sight. Could not be seen, but he felt it. He says, Lord, it is between me and thee. He said, Lord, thou knowest, because thou lookest not only on the outward appearance, but thou lookest also on the heart. O Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Is that so? Is that so? Then it is enough. That is between the Lord and your soul. No man, not a husband, a wife, child, father, or mother, no one can come between. Then a man has the testimony of Peter. Then a man has the testimony of that living church of God. And with this, the Lord Jesus, he is satisfied. He does not ask Peter again. He says it is enough. And even more for Peter, because the Lord, he gives him a charge that is not for the entire church of God. But three times, Peter receives a charge from the Lord. They are also somewhat different, not as we read. But the Lord says to him, feed my lambs, shepherd my sheep, feed my sheep. Thus the care of the church that is laid upon the apostle Peter. Peter was qualified for it. That is necessary. That a man be qualified, even through his fall, qualified. The Lord knows what he does. The Lord, he doeth all things well. Because Peter, before his fall, he would step on those sheep. He would crush those little lambs. He would not know how to take care of them. Because he would say, my heart, that is different than your heart. I do not have your shortcomings. I am above your sin. He would not understand the conflicts of that church. But Peter is qualified by the Lord to lead, to feed the sheep, the lambs of the flock of God, in order that people, his people, they may be fed, that they may grow, and that the Lord, he may receive all the honor and all the glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we need that same qualification, that thou would suffer us not to learn it in such a way, but wilt thou give what is necessary to lead our flock, and that thou would remember the smallest ones in whom the love of thee has been planted, and even the love of the blessed Son of God. O Lord, remember them. Our life that so often is testifying against us, wilt thou make it to be different, but wilt thou give that knowledge, that testimony within our heart, that may witness with the Spirit of the Lord. Bring us safely home. Receive our thanks for thy help in this hour. Help us this day. Keep us from sin. Give us to keep thy day holy. Give us meditations upon thy word of truth. Help us in the week to come. Keep from sin and evil, accident and danger, in the home, by the way, at school. Care for our teachers. Instruct them in all thy truth. For Jesus' sake, amen. 281, 3 and 4. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me bless his name. Bless Jehovah and forget not all his mercies to proclaim. 1, 3 and 4 of Psalter 280. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.